Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hello and welcome to At The Yard. I'm Corey Seidman, joined by Jim Salisbury, who's down in Clearwater, Florida, and finally, I have some real news to discuss. Manny Machado is headed to San Diego on that 10-year, $300 million deal. Jim, I want to start here. The phrase that really stuck out from Phillies GM Matt Klentak when reacting to the Machado contract this week was that it reached a point where it exceeded the Phillies' valuation. What did you interpret from that? I guess more so because when this offseason began, everybody knew that it was going to take an enormous sum to land one of these players. Do you think that $300 million was just all along out of the Phillies' appetite range?
Well, I'd have to say it was, based on the facts that have been presented to us. Manny Machado signed for $300 million with the San Diego Padres. The Phillies knew where that market was going. They learned of that in recent days. And they had a chance themselves to go to $300 million and would not go there because they have valued the player differently, obviously under that, and they walked away from the pursuit of Manny Machado. So I think that's where it stands. They obviously didn't value him as a $300 million player. Machado and Harper both went into the offseason seeking deals of that sum or more, but I guess the Phillies thought the market was going to be under that, and I believe they thought their offer on Machado would work, and obviously it didn't. Good job by Dan Lozano, the agent for Machado, keeping things quiet and delivering on his promise to get Machado a $300 million deal.
There was a report out of Chicago, I think it was Ken Rosenthal, that the White Sox highest offer for Machado was $250 million over 8 years. Do you think that the Phillies' top offer was in that range? Would it surprise you if it was similar to that?
I would think it'd be in that range, anywhere from 240 to 280. But, you know, again, I'm guessing. But, you know, they were given the opportunity. They knew where Lozano was taking this. They had a vibe. It was going to 300, and they were given the opportunity to, play in that realm, and they chose not to simply because they had put a different dollar sign on the player. Whether or not you disagree with it, that was where they had him as a player. And I think at the end here, they began, in their evaluation and putting a number on Harper, I think they considered public opinion. And recently, there's been a lot of questions about how he would play in Philly after the Johnny Hustle comments. I mean, those comments he made in October, it seemed to die down for a good chunk of the winter. But lately, I think it flared up a little bit more. And they included that in their valuation of the player. And we're not willing to go to $300 million. And for that reason, they lost out on the player. And I still believe he's the guy that Matt Klentak wanted, that their baseball operations department wanted. And, the analytics staff that they put together in the last 3 or 4 years, I believe he's the player that they wanted. So now, they went into this winter looking to land one of the two big free agents, Machado or Harper. And, public expectations are that they were going to get one of these guys because for a couple of years now they've been talking about budgeting for this free agent class, how special this free agent class was, how much they wanted to be a player in this free agent class. And then the owner, John Middleton, sort of punctuated it all in November when he said the team, he made a comment about being prepared to spend stupid money. So all of those things heightened and even inflamed expectations. So this puts enormous pressure on them now to deliver Bryce Harper, who is at least the people's choice.
Sure is.
He's a player that the baseball operations department likes very much as well. I just think they prioritized the elite defense that Machado could bring at third base over the right fielder that Harper is. But they would still like to get Harper, and as I said, enormous pressure on them to do that.
Jim, something I found pretty interesting yesterday is that whether it was, you know, commenters on our website, people on social media, radio callers, nobody really seemed all that upset that the Phillies missed out on Manny Machado. It was almost like this fan base, as the offseason has progressed, if there was a closeness between the two players, the perception of the two players when the offseason began, at least from the fans' perspective, it has swayed so far into the Harper camp. And again, that is another thing that puts immense pressure on Matt Klentak here. When he spoke, Klentak, to reporters yesterday, and you were there, he was pretty emotionless. Do you think that some of that was Klentak trying to kind of send a message to Scott Boras that, you know, just because one major piece is off the board, the Phillies aren't going to get foolish now and give up everything that they need to for Harper?
I always find him, you know, pretty straightforward and someone not to show a lot of emotion. And I think that's the way you have to be in negotiations. You have to think with your head and not your heart. I mean, that's one of the big questions I have now, where we stand in this thing in their pursuit of Harper. Are they going to get emotional and do something really crazy? I still think you have to have limits on everybody. And we'll see. Harper would like to set records, but you know, if those records are $400 million or something crazy like that, I think everybody has a walkaway point.
It just doesn't seem realistic at this point. You know, the Phillies, there's this idea that they might be bidding against themselves because the Padres are out of the mix after signing Manny Machado. The White Sox, their front office has made comments since the Machado signing that they didn't feel comfortable getting to $300 million. The Giants, the reports of them being more interested in a shorter-term deal. And the Nationals, who knows if that huge offer at the beginning of the offseason, that reported offer, is still even on the table. So to get to $400 million, it just seems unrealistic at this point, doesn't it, Jim?
It does to me, because I can't figure out who they're bidding against. And the Phillies all along have been very leery and cautious about bidding against themselves, both on both players. It's just so difficult to discern who is in this thing and who is not, especially, you know, the way agents work. I still think Harper is looking to set a record. Giancarlo Stanton at $325 million guaranteed would be, you know, matching him or topping him would be a record, even though he didn't sign a free agent deal. It was a contract extension with the Marlins. I would think that should be able to do it, but, you know, Scott Boras is a master at working markets and driving prices upward until he gets what he wants. So I don't know what he's thinking or where he would stop. So we're going to just have to follow this. You know, Klentak did say that everything has limits, and, you know, no one is a sign at all cost player, and you got to keep emotion out of it. As you said, he did keep emotion out of it. I think he was disappointed, though, deep down, not to get Machado. I think a number of people in that front office were disappointed not to get Machado. But I think just as many people in the organization we're not feeling disappointment, because, you know, at the box office, Bryce Harper, and on the business side, is considered more of a draw. So maybe this will work out. You know, the Phillies will come out smelling roses, make a deal for Harper, and the fans will be happy, and the business side will be happy, and he's still an amazing player, and he'll help you win some ballgames.
In terms of overall value, Machado and Harper are pretty comparable despite the positional differences. Do you think that the Phillies all along throughout this process had an actual preference, like had a guy that they thought was clearly better than the other, or do you think their preference was more so about getting whichever guy they could get at the number they felt most comfortable with?
I think if you talk to the baseball people who actually make the decisions, I think Machado was the preference because he plays two positions where, you know, going into the offseason, that they had needs at, eventually solving one with Gene Segura. I think if you talk to the business side and the people who sell the tickets, they preferred the box office appeal of Harper. I think if you talk to the fans, they overwhelmingly approved of Harper and wanted Harper because of, you know, Machado just did some damage to himself with those comments about Johnny Hustle in the month of October. And, you know, that gave everybody here a little bit of pause, and I think it did affect the valuation that the baseball people put on him. And but there's a lot of split opinions. I mean, both players in their own way were and are coveted here. And the Phillies still, you know, are hopeful of, you know, going in. They wanted to get one of them, and they're still hopeful they can do that.
Do you think that John Middleton is getting antsy at this point after Machado's off the board?
Yes. I do believe he's getting, I think he's getting antsy. He's a competitive guy. He wants to add a big piece, and he just saw one of them go away. That could have helped this team. So the field of the two guys they were pursuing is down to one. So, yes, I'm sure he is getting antsy. We talked about emotions. He is a guy who I think is not afraid to show you some emotion. So I'm sure he's disappointed, but I'm sure he's taking that energy and focusing it now on Bryce Harper. And, you know, he already had been. They had been talking to both guys, and now everything is you know, pointing in the direction of Harper. All their energies are going to Harper.
So we know that Middleton was involved in both meetings with Machado here in Philly and with Bryce Harper out in Vegas. How much of a role do you think that he has played in the negotiation process of this, actually discussing dollars and cents with these players? And do you think that that would ramp up now at this point or stay unchanged?
Well, I think with Machado, it was handled by the front office. This is just my vibe. Handled by the front office because that's their job, and I think John Middleton is respectful of that. I mean, he hired these people. I think he has faith in these people. I think it would change with Harper for the simple reason Scott Boras loves to do business right to the ownership level. He likes to take it right to the owners. Scott is a wildly successful businessman in his own right, and I think he feels like he has a shared language with owners who are usually wildly successful businessmen as well. So I think the dynamic as all the focus goes on Harper would change there because of Boris's desire to do business straight to the ownership level. He has a history of that. He enjoys that. And I'm sure that's the way it's going. He loves to lock horns with owners and convince them of the value of a player and how it exceeds just what happens on the diamond, how it affects TV ratings, how it affects every revenue stream that a team benefits from. So Scott is in his realm dealing with John Middleton.
What happens if the Phillies, and for that matter, no other team, is willing to exceed $300 million for Bryce Harper? Do you think that Boras's play then would be to go for a slightly shorter deal, 7 or 8 years with a higher annual average value? The reason I ask is just because when you have one of these guys sign first, Machado, for 10 years, $300 million, there's going to be the perception that if Harper gets anything less than $300 million, that it was almost like a loss for Boras, that he lost this battle. So how do you see it playing out if that number just doesn't happen?
Well, whatever Harper gets, if he doesn't get more than $300 guaranteed, you know, Scott will spin it in their direction. You know, you could go for a short-term deal, like 5 at 40 per. That would certainly intrigue some teams, I'm sure. And then at that point, the agent would try to make it look like a victory, but I still think they're focused on a very long-term deal for Harper at the moment.
So I've thought all along that if Harper signed first, that the Machado move would probably happen very soon after, maybe if not that day, that within the coming days. But seeing how Scott Boras does business, I mean, last year, for example, Yu Darvish signed, and then it was weeks before Jake Arrieta signed. And they were pretty comparable, not totally comparable when the offseason began, but similar enough. Do you see this playing out? I mean, in Philadelphia, I'll tell you that the sense here, not my sense, but the sense by, from a lot of people here is that something is that something might happen immediately. But that's just not the vibe that I get. I feel like knowing all we know about Scott Boras and how this process has gone, that you know this could linger another couple days, if not longer. What's your sense there?
My sense is it could linger days or even a couple more weeks. But I would remind you that everything can change with one phone call. It can change with a phone call 5 minutes from now. The way Scott operates is, as long as he sees daylight in the market, he's going to continue to try to drive it upward. And once he hits roadblocks and all that daylight disappears with the teams he's talking to, then he strikes quickly. I think that's what happened last year with Arrieta. Phillies were on record as saying they would do a short-term deal, a three-year deal, and they had their offer there. He continued to try to work things for his client, and once every avenue dried up, he took the best offer there. So as soon as he stops seeing daylight is when he will strike a deal for this guy. So that could, you know, happen today. It could happen 2 weeks from now. We're going to find out. But as opening day, you know, comes closer, more and more teams are going to say, hey, we're done. You know, we're ready for the season. And that's, you know, as soon as he feels there's no more daylight is when he'll strike a deal.
Okay. Now, if the Phillies do happen to miss out on Harper, and it happens while guys like Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell are still out there, you know, those are the two top free agents left aside from Bryce Harper. Do you think that the Phillies would re-engage there? Do you think that they would have genuine interest, or is this kind of the club that they'd feel most comfortable with? The reason I ask, just because, you know, the bullpen's already pretty crowded with good right-handed pitchers. Not that Kimbrell wouldn't be the best, but it just doesn't seem like as much of a need. And Keuchel has shown some signs of decline the last few years, led all of baseball in hits allowed last season. I'm not sure he'd be like a sizable, substantial upgrade to this rotation over the next few years. So just curious what you think on with those two players.
I have thought all along that if they landed a Machado or a Harper, they still would be in play for one of those two guys on a short-term deal, and I still feel that way. I don't think, you know, if they don't get Harper, I don't think they're all of a sudden going to throw a five-year deal at either one of those guys, but I think their long-standing interest on a short-term deal for one of those two guys would still be there. Would there be maybe a little bit more pressure to try to deliver something, maybe. But I think that interest has existed all along.
Okay, and, you know, the ripple effect of Machado going to San Diego means that Michael Franco gets another big opportunity here. Gabe Kapler mentioned that Franco would battle with Scott Kingery, but you and I kind of both expect that Franco is going to have that job at least early in the season. What was his reaction to the Machado signing with San Diego, and just your sense of how Franco has approached this since he's gotten to camp?
Michael's approached it very professionally, and I think he's done a good job with it. He's upbeat, as he always is. He's come into camp in really good shape. He's had really good camps in the past. You mentioned that it's a competition with him and Scott Kingery. You know, I think it might be a competition in name only. I think they're trying to light a fire under Michael Franco. I think if you look at certain facts, Scott Kingery profiles as a nice piece off their bench. Michael Franco doesn't profile as a utility man. So he's going to get probably his last shot to really nail this thing down. I think he's really motivated. In pockets, he's been a hell of a player for this team over the last few years. He just has never really strung together that level of consistency. But believe it or not, he's the same age as Machado and Harper. He's 26. Still has a chance to maybe get better, and he needs to get better, needs to get more consistent. But I think he's in a good frame of mind. If he has a good year, he's really going to help this team. They need him to have a good year, so because he's the man now. I think he's at least positioned well mentally and physically, looking at him to – you know, add that consistency he needs to his game. We'll see. Time will tell.
Okay, Jim, last one. Matt Klentak and Andy McPhail have both said this offseason that, you know, they've warned this isn't the last free agent class that's ever going to come up. These aren't the final two stars that are ever going to become available. And when you look at the future, the next few years, the guys that stick out, Nolan Arenado possibly, he's up after the year, Mike Trout up after 2020, There's Mookie Betts potentially as well. However, there's also the possibility that none of those players even reaches free agency. I would think that the Red Sox are going to do all they can to keep Betts locked up long term. There's already been some discussions between the Rockies and Arenado as far as Trout. Who knows? Do you think that, given where the Phillies are, having traded their top prospect in Sixto Sanchez to get JT Realmuto, having spent all the money that they've spent over the last two off seasons, the $135 million last year on Arrieta and Santana, and then all the money this offseason with McCutchen and Robertson and getting Gene Segura in that trade, do you think that it better serves the Phillies to just act now? I mean, do you agree with that mentality that, you know, if they strike out this time, it might not be that big of a deal because there are other players down the road? Where do you stand on that?
Well, I think all of those players you mentioned, there's a chance that a couple could be out there as free agents. There's a chance that none of them could be out there as free agents. We're already hearing of an extension, a possible extension for Arenado in Colorado. Rendon is another guy that's going to be out there. He's a terrific player. You know, if Harper goes back to Washington, he's a guy who could be out there. But, you know, Betts, I mean, I don't see how the Red Sox let him get away. Trout.
No way.
Trout and the Angels have been waiting for this bar, this offseason's bar to be set so they can start working on a contract extension. You know, I mean, ultimately, Harper will have the say of whether he takes it or not. But you don't know any of those guys are going to be out there. That's why I think they needed to act in this market. And they still have a chance to get Bryce Harper. But, you know, if they don't get him, I still think they've had a good offseason. I mean, they had a chance to make it great. Still a good offseason. They still have a puncher's chance in the division. I don't think they're the team to beat in the division by any means, but they're not going to stop trying to improve this team if they don't get Bryce Harper. You know, they're still going to be looking to upgrade where they can. They're still going to be involved with things at the trade deadline. So you just have to figure out other ways to improve your team. But it would be... it would be a real kind of a letdown for the offseason if they don't get Bryce Harper. It wouldn't be a failure of an offseason in my mind. They've still made good moves. But, you know, when the dust settles, it would feel like a letdown from where it could have been.
All four players you just mentioned, Betts, Trout, Rendon, Arenado, they all might be more well-rounded, better overall players than Bryce Harper. But, and, you know, Bryce Harper is not this perfect player. But just in my mind, you know, 26-year-old free agent who perfectly fits your window, who enables you to win now when it seems like winning now is the priority. You know, this is why so many people are just all over Bryce Harper right now. Not because he's considered the best player in baseball, but because he might end up being a better fit within this timeline more so than any of these other guys. You know, if it gets to a Betts or a Rendon or an Arenado or a Trout, well, all those guys are going to be older than Bryce Harper is right now. And not that age is the only concern, but, you know, I would think that timeline of that window of contention would certainly play a role in this.
It definitely plays a role in their thinking all along. All along, they've talked about what a unique opportunity this is in this free agent market because of the level of talent and the age that talent was. 26 years old. It's the same age as Reese Hoskins, and it's the same, pretty much the same age as Aaron Nola. I think he's 25. It fits really well in the what the Phillies are trying to do. It fits really well with their core and their projected winning curve. So didn't get Machado. It ain't over yet. We'll see what happens with Bryce Harper.
Yep. Unique free agent class. One of the strangest winters I can ever remember in baseball free agency. One domino has fallen, and hopefully it's not too long before the next one does. Jim, thank you so much. You have been on this all off season. Really appreciate it. We'll talk to you next time here on At the Yard.